You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. Whew. It's taken me like 20 minutes just to get this Adobe Audition to even work. Yes, I'm opening with a complaint. I'm filing a grievance. Glad we're going to be moving to a different system with video here in a couple weeks so that there's all kinds of other different problems to deal with. But hey, guess what? I can still dress down now. Y'all don't have to see my face as I'm talking about anything. Anyway, Lockdown Wolverines podcast, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hole, publisher of Wolverines, Wire, through USA Today Sports Media Group. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, RockAuto.com. Lots of little things written about today on Wolverines Wire, so I think it's a good deal to get into some of that. The big thing to me is this, and I saw this the other day. It took me until today to get to it. I kind of just forgot about it because I was annoyed. Because like I've told you, I'm relatively impartial when it comes to Michigan now. Obviously, I wasn't for the majority of my life. But you get to, you know, you be in this job. It's hard to do your job if you're not impartial, at least not, you know, to do it well. You know what I mean? And but I still get annoyed with rivalry stuff, particularly. So CBS put out this article. It was no surprise, Barrett Salee and Ben Kercheval. I don't know anything really about Ben Kercheval, but Barrett Salee is notorious for his hatred of Michigan. Michigan could win the national championship, you know, and he would still find reason to say, well, they weren't really that good of national champions. You know what I mean? Like, they still don't really, you know, they're still fraud. I mean, he's like a less controversial Paul Finebaum in a lot of ways. I mean, because he's another SEC guy. I enjoy listening to Barrett, though, like on when I'm doing road trips and I'm driving and listening on Sunday on the drive back. It always seems like it's like coming back from Penn State, listening to Sirius XM and hearing him and Tom Luganville when it's that duo. But they had said that Michigan, let me backtrack here because I'm just kind of going all willy-nilly here. So they did an article of the best in-state program for every state. And when they got to the state of Michigan, they said Michigan State. Now, here's the rubric, by the way, which they used. So this is entering the 2021 season. The actual article is picking the best college football team in each state entering the 2021 season. The rubric that they used was, this is not a list of programs that have had the most all-time success in each state, because obviously that would be Michigan. I mean, it would be Michigan, period, if you did all of college football. Every state. Michigan has the most success in every state overall as the winningest program. Said, instead, we took a deeper dive over the last 3 or 4 years. Results from 2020 were considered less in some cases due to COVID-19. Other considerations, such as head-to-head matchups, championships won, and the like, were taken into account. So, when it came to them picking what they say is the best college football team in the state of Michigan is, they said Michigan State. Remember, last 3 to 4 years, discounting somewhat the 2020. I mean, Michigan went 2-4 but lost to Michigan State. Michigan State went 2-5, but lost to Rutgers. I mean, whatever. I say you can throw, in a way, you can throw 2020 out. Michigan underachieved in that game, for sure. But then you look, if you're saying like the last 3 or 4 years, then let's say 4 years, just to be generous. In that time frame, Michigan is 2-1 against Michigan State. Heck, you want to extend it one more year to 5. To just be a little extra generous than Michigan, excluding 2020, the COVID year, Michigan is then, 3-1? Here's what they said. Oh boy, where do we even start? It's not that Michigan has been bad under Jim Harbaugh. No, the Wolverines can't beat Ohio State and therefore can't get into the Big Ten championship game. But they also haven't been bad until last year. Michigan State wasn't good in 2020 either, but it has the most recent head-to-head win. So they're putting a lot of stock on that 2020 game. In the past 4 years, both programs have posted a 10-win season and split the rivalry 2-2. Western Michigan could make a case too, but the Spartans get a narrow edge for 2021. Perhaps there's more clarity this time next year. I think that's just such a, like, let's get clicks type situation. Let's get people like me talking about it type situation. Here's what I said, or noted. MSU has played one more game in that time frame. He's 26-20. Michigan has three more wins and four less losses, 29-16 in that time frame. If you take out I guess it doesn't really matter if you take out, but really in the last 3 to 4 years, like, okay, Michigan in 2017 was an 8-win team and then was a 10-win team, a 9-win team, and then we know what happened last year. Michigan State was a 10-win team in 2017 and then has just been god-awful ever since then. It's not been good, period. Michigan State has not been good, period, the last 3 years. But by all means, one head-to-head win in the last 3 years as well, let's go ahead and give the nod to Michigan State. I mean, I'm a type of person that's going to give credit where credit's due. But that would be like saying, like, you know, let's look at who's got the upper hand in the Michigan-Indiana series. Well, Michigan had won for the last 30 years, but then they lost this last year. Indiana's clearly the better program. Like, what? Every other state was like, okay, obviously that's the right call. But this one, for some reason, is just... It's just, to me, it's typical Barrett Salee shenanigans, even though he wasn't the one who wrote that little synopsis that was Ben Kirchhoff who did. But, I mean, I'm sure Michigan State fans are loving it. I'm sure a lot of you kind of more so are like, whatever, man, we deserve it. Because right now there's very much a self-hating dynamic going on in the fan base. But I think it's just the most absurd thing because it's just like, It's really letting 2020 do the heavy lifting. It's really letting 2020 do the heavy lifting. Because especially when you look at a lot of these projections of what pundits think that these teams are going to do, most expect Michigan to win 8 games, and most don't expect Michigan State to be bowl eligible. It just... defies belief, in my opinion. All right. BetOnline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. College football is going to be back soon. Matter of weeks here. Week zero coming up. So get on it now. Get ready for it. If you're ready to play some sports betting action. BetOnline also even covers awards shows, TV shows, reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, the scores, and the odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and guess what? It is free to sign up. Head over to BetOnline.ag, sign up today, use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, well, while CBS is making a mockery of themselves, that they're making a travesty, and it's a sham, and it's a mockery. It's a travesham mockery, if any of you remember that old commercial with Bob Odenkirk. I think it was for Bud Light. I'm pretty sure that was I don't remember what it was for. I'm pretty sure it was Bob Odenkirk, but I mean, I'm talking 15 years ago at this point. Just the fact that I remember it. Anyway, ESPN, however, has been a little bit better about things here because they've put out a couple articles. They're getting into their, you know, predicting things and, you know, looking back at things. So let's start with to me, they're both kind of good because you can't really argue the one that's kind of bad. But let's start with the first one here, which is that ESPN had their deal about they had their list of teams that they think are going to do different things. If I can recall, I don't remember exactly what it was. But they expect Michigan to rebound. I don't remember the exact article. I think I have it here. But, I mean, it was Bill Connolly, who's, you know, awesome, the advanced analytics guru there. And he had Michigan as a team that's going to, like, as they had different tiers and things, like teams that will repeat their success from 2020 and so on and so forth. But anyway. Michigan was listed as a team that they think will rebound. I'm really the trains of thought here is just they're not working very well today. Anyhow, here's what he had to say about Michigan and why Michigan he thinks will improve. For years, it was easy to make the case that Jim Harbaugh's Michigan tenure was being painted with an unfair brush, as Wolverines had won 10 games in 3 of his 5 years. They had done so only once in 8 years before his arrival. Amen. And had finished 10th or better in S&P Plus, or SP Plus. He's corrected me on that personally before. SP Plus 4 times after averaging a 31.1 ranking in the decade prior. His biggest crime was simply being unable to keep up with an Ohio State program achieving maybe its highest ever cruising altitude. Yeah, welcome to the Big Ten. Like, Michigan's the only one that gets judged on that. Wisconsin, Penn State, they don't get judged on that for whatever reason. What have they done against Ohio State? Pretty close to nothing. Anyway, it's a lot harder to make a defense after 2020. The Wolverines significantly underachieved last fall, going 2-4, and not only struggling to keep up offensively, not a new thing, but also regressing significantly on D. SP Plus projections take longer-term factors into account, your recent history beyond last season, your recent recruiting, and those factors suggest the Wolverines have good odds of improving over last year's performance. You can be forgiven if your eyes disagree. The Wolverines have one genuine star in Aiden Hutchinson. Their starting quarterback will likely either be a frequently injured Texas Tech transfer, Alan Bowman, or sophomore, Cade McNamara. I guess technically he'd be a redshirt freshman if you count last year as the free year, but nonetheless, with a single strong performance against Rutgers on his resume. Still, SP Plus is here to remind you of the good times. Who says stats and stats people are antisocial? There are plenty of ways for Harbaugh's changes, namely bringing in Mike McDonald as defensive coordinator to go awry, but they certainly aren't guaranteed to. I agree with that in the sense of, like, I've mentioned, I think it was yesterday, Michigan doesn't really have any star power on the team. I'd argue Daxton Hill is in the same boat as Aiden, but Aiden's getting a lot more love. Daxton's kind of flying under the radar right now. So, which I think all of that's a good thing. I think all of that's a good thing right now. Like, for all the people that talk about how overhyped Michigan is, the coaches poll came out today and Michigan is in others receiving votes. It's a very rare thing that Michigan is in others receiving votes going into the season, you know? Anyway, so I don't think he's wrong when it comes to all of that. We are relying very heavily on things we haven't seen. That said, I think all the pieces are there. And I don't think that Harbaugh bringing in Mike McDonald as defensive coordinator is something that's going to go awry. I would be very surprised if that ends up being the defensive version of Doug Nussmeier taking over the offense. I would be very, very surprised. I just cannot see that happening. I think this is a good situation. I think the defense is going to definitely rebound. Let me also back up and say, because it wasn't included in this part, Bill Connolly and SP Plus are projecting that Michigan's going to go 8-4. So that rebound is right on par with what I've suggested I think that Michigan's going to do. But, you know, it seems like a lot of these years that Michigan's been pretty good, this is kind of what people think. 2015, people said they'd be lucky if they win a, you know, if they can win enough to get to a bowl game. 2018, I think there was some optimism because of Shea Patterson, but I don't remember it being like, yeah, they're gonna be this really, really good team. I remember having conversations relatively early on in the season, and it was like Penn State and Ohio State were the class of the conference, and while Ohio State ended up proving that to be true, especially by virtue of what happened at the end of the year, I mean, they struggled all year long for the otherwise. Penn State didn't do anything, you know? It just seems like the years that people don't think Michigan's going to be very good, they tend to be pretty good. So, I mean, I think that they'll rebound. There's the other aspect that ESPN had, and like I said, it's not necessarily good, but I still think it's good. That said that they had their list of underachieving teams in college football. And this is going back the last 30 years. The most underachieving teams the last 30 years. Michigan was not in the first tier, the second tier, or the third tier. They were in tier four. It put them in with the struggling historical powerhouses. Miami, USC, Nebraska, Tennessee, and Michigan all ended up in this tier. Michigan was the second listed one after Miami. Number one, that designation belongs to Georgia. And if you've listened to this show for any period of time, you would have heard me speak adamantly about Georgia being the most underachieving football program in the entire country. And no matter what Paul Feinbaum says, he just seems to forget that team in his backyard that has the best recruiting classes seemingly year in, year out, until maybe the last year or two in which Ohio State is kind of jumped up there. No team has more five stars than Georgia in the last like 5 years. And yet, 9-3 seemingly every year, or maybe 10 wins or whatever, but hasn't been to the college football playoff except for once. Yeah, they made the championship game and then they lost. I'm sorry, Georgia has so much talent. They should have had more than one appearance. They should win at least a national championship. When was the last time Georgia even won one? Anyway, I digress. Let's get to the Michigan part. Instead of making this an all Georgia hate show. Here's what they said. Although Michigan didn't contend nationally as often as Miami did in the 1980s and early 1990s, Wolverines recorded 8 AP top 8 finishes between 1983 and 1992, and they won or shared 7 Big Ten titles between 1982 and 1992. Michigan won a national title in 1997 and had 5 top 10 finishes between 1997 and 2006. But the program has become increasingly less competitive nationally and even in the Big Ten, where it hasn't won a championship since 2004. The Wolverines have dropped 8 straight games to Ohio State. Yeah, that's accurate. And have beaten the Buckeyes just once since 2003. Mm-hmm. Michigan still prints money, carries a national brand, and plays in the nation's largest stadium. Although the past 2 decades have widened the gap between Michigan and national elites like Ohio State, the Wolverines should be performing at a higher level. Agree. It kind of addresses all of the elephants in the room, right? Ohio State is nationally elite. Michigan hasn't been for a little while. Still a very good program, but got some work to do. Not irrelevant, because like some people try to act like, oh, Michigan's not relevant on the national stage. It's like, yeah, guess what? You wouldn't be talked about that way all the time. So anyway, like I said, Georgia had tier one all to itself. This was written by Adam Rittenberg, who even says right in the first thing, full disclosure, I'm typing this while wearing a Georgia hat. So, but yeah, Georgia's done nothing, essentially. Tier two, by the way, is the I-10 tier. Texas A&M, UCLA, and Texas. I don't know if UCLA is necessarily underachieved, but the rest, yeah. I think I would have, and Adam Rittenberg even says, I initially had Texas in the Lost Glory tier of underachievers, but the Longhorns honestly belong here alongside their old friends, the Aggies. Texas owns a national title in somewhat recent memory. Tier three is location-based schools that just, you know, North Carolina, Arizona State, Maryland. I think that's fair. Michigan's in that Lost Glory schools part. Tier five is the group of five. Tier seven is where bowled over. Simply making bowl games is a challenge, and they're whatever. So I think it's an interesting article. I think it nails it on the head. I like that, you know, some of these things are getting talked about because this is this tis the season for it. All right. Finish up with some other thoughts here momentarily. But rockauto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, a couple more minutes. I do want to check in on one more article that I wrote. We'll just handle it relatively fast. Not going to spend too much time on it, but really good to see three former Michigan players. Yeah, we're just rehashing things that I've talked, that I've wrote. That's what we're doing today. I don't have a lot of, like, the ESPN ones, like, we kind of went from opinions I vehemently disagree with, opinions that I agree with, to just cool here. Like, that's what we're doing today. So, USA Today Sports did, like, a conglomerate deal with some of the newspapers within Gannett. My employer, Gannett. And they did a 32 breakout NFL training camp players, standouts. So three Michigan players made the list. Not bad, about 10% of that. Of those three, Chris Evans for the Cincinnati Bengals, Josh Uche for the New England Patriots, and Donovan Peoples-Jones from Cleveland Browns. Now, you knew Donovan was going to be up there because he was the picture on the article. So he's the main one, and I've seen plenty of things of people saying, yeah, Peoples-Jones is just out there kicking names and taking some you-know-what. So that's really good to see. The only one I want to kind of read is because I think the Uche, I think that's given that he was injured through a lot of last year, and Peoples-Jones is like right behind. The unofficial depth chart released by Cleveland had him as the number two receiver behind Jarvis Landry. So, like, you know, reserve number two, not like OBJ and then, you know, Jarvis Landry's still there. But, and I know probably a bunch of you out there whining, why didn't we see it at Michigan? Sometimes that's just how the cookie crumbles. Sometimes guys are going to be better pros than they are in college. Stephon Diggs wasn't like too terrifying at Maryland, you know what I mean? And a lot better now in the pros. That's just sometimes how it goes. Here's what they said about Evans, because I think that this is the more interesting one because he's a rookie. Evans, a rookie out of Michigan, could already be the Bengals' best pass catcher out of the backfield. Evans has played some slot receiver in his career, and the Bengals drafted him in the sixth round because of the potential they saw in him for their pass-heavy scheme. Evans could immediately be a factor in the Bengals' screen game and has shown flashes of being a receiving threat on short passes in the red zone. So, I mean, we saw glimpses of that at Michigan, but yet it's like he never really seemed like he got fully deployed in the way that he probably should have been. Like, we've seen glimpses of it, but I mean, that's just kind of the preaching to the choir as far as that's concerned. I think that's how it's been with a lot of offensive pieces. He only had 1 year with Gattis, and it was a weird year, so it doesn't really count. But I really would have loved to have seen him in 2019. I think that would have been really interesting. But nonetheless, good for him. That really sounds like he's going to make that 53-man roster, really bolster Michigan's numbers. Michigan has 50 guys in NFL training camps right now. That's a huge number. So pretty cool. Anyway, that'll do it for us today. We will be back tomorrow on Wednesday with more Locked On Wolverines. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you then. Peace.